Chapter 11. Apart from the hum of the consoles and the small screen-tip sounds of their operators, the bridge of the Irtesh was suffused with a certain kind of quietness, the hush that comes before expectancy, before orders. But it was nothing compared to the cathedral silence that reigned within Akreen's head. Before his audience with Gredaz, his thoughts had been an elaborate stage upon which his precursors had conducted a perpetual cavalcade of worn-out clichés, empty repetition, and fruitless verbal clashes. But since that astounding encounter, his precursors were conspicuous by their absence. There was room for relaxation and meditation, as well as hard thinking. Earlier, the commander's chair had been cleared of Tevashir's brittle, crumbling remains, then scoured with a cleaning device, while Akreen had been closeted in his abeyance chamber, conversing in his mind with Gredaz. Now, it was some hours since the arrival aboard, and his promotion at the behest of the Shuskar gunlord Exrahald, and, as he sat there, he knew that his senior officers harboured great doubts about his fitness for the rank of First Blade. In the normal course of events, such doubts would be allayed by demonstrating his grasp of the responsibilities of command and allowing his characteristic talents to colour his decisions on strategy and tactics. The ship was just over an hour from its arrival at the planet Armag, so opportunities to prove himself would soon present themselves. But the revelations unveiled by the precursor Gredaz made all of that look unimportant. Akreen recalled perfectly the icy shiver he felt when Gredaz had introduced himself within the misty thoughtscape which had crept stealthily upon him. In the lee of that vast-looking wall, Akreen had found that he was incapable of saying anything while the craggy, silvered features of Gredaz regarded him for a long, considering moment.
"There is so much to tell you," his most ancient precursor began. "Perhaps the first thing you should know is that there were other precursors before me. Yes, there were other generations of Zavri, a chain going back into the past."
Akreen's attention was unwavering.
"How many generations? How far back?"
"That I do not know. In some ways, I am a useful, sophisticated bundle of memories and characteristics, but in others, the gaps in my knowledge are echoing gulfs of nothing. I have tried to conjecture what is missing from the shape of the holes, but it is difficult to arrive at conclusions of any real utility."
"My guess is that you will have more to tell me than any of your descendants, Akreen said.
"Like Rajeg, that simple-minded butcher. Upon my scission, there were other scions more deserving of lineagerhood, of carrying the spark of our precursors. Ah, but we cannot choose the vessel, only hope that it will learn something from its ancestors."
Gredaz paused.
"My generation was the first to arise after the Great Unshackling War, as the Shuskar call it. Exrahold spoke some truth earlier. Most of our people did fight on the side of the Apparatarch and against the Shuskar and their allies. But after a time, that alliance developed new weapons specifically to use against us. You saw one in the hands of the Gunlord's servant, and there were other, more abominable devices which were designed to erase our precursors from our bodies. They wiped out our past, all our glories and achievements, to create a new blank race for them to write commands of unthinking loyalty upon, an iron, eternal loyalty, as we proved it to be during the Beshefis insurrection only too well."
"You said that we fought for the Apparatarch," said Akreen.
"How did that allegiance come about?" "I only have scattered fragments, but the picture they suggest is this. The Apparatark was an amalgamation of the various machine intelligences that had served the builders of the war cage before their political ousting many millennia ago. The leadership that took over the Integration Council reached an accommodation with the machine intelligences in order to maintain the smooth operation of the megasystem's myriad interlocking processes. After that, the Integration Council proved incapable of living up to its name, and a succession of factions jostled for control and power, while representation at grassroots level was suppressed or otherwise withdrawn. To cut a long story short, the council grew corrupt, and the great harbour of benevolent harmony, as the war cage was then known, continued on its journey around the home galaxy, spreading dissension and conflict rather than peace and resolution. A league of civilizations banded together, assembled a massive armada, and harried the great harbour to the galaxy's edge, eventually forcing it to depart. A series of journeys in dimension space brought the great harbour to the fringes of this galaxy, by which time the Integration Council had become a vessel of corruption, where only power and brute force were worshipped, and that is when the Apparatark took up the arms of rebellion. The Zavri, apparently, were a minor species, invited into the harbour during one of the Council's last periods of comparatively civilised behaviour. Perhaps it was the nature of our metalloid biology, with its information storage propensities, that attracted the Apparatark's attention, but, in time, we became one of its favoured collaborator species. And when the decision to overthrow the villainous council was made, our forebears were quick to offer assistance. With us at their side, the Apparatark almost won, until the Shuskar-led alliance deployed their new weapons.
Akreen took this in greedily, a banquet of knowledge and revelation which laid bare so much, yet presented so many more questions. Especially when it came to Gredaz's purpose, and why he had waited until now to make himself known. When he voiced these queries, his precursor's dull, silvered features creased slightly with a bleak smile.
"Your predecessor, First Blade Tevashir," he began. "That was the catalyst. Witnessing his ignominious death at the hands of Exra Huld."
He gave Akreen a sombre look.
"I've always been there, you know, far back in the shadowy recesses of your thoughts. It has taken a long time for me to reach this level of awareness and ability, and it is no shame to admit that I had help. The very nature of our biology can allow us to tune into certain parts of the electromagnetic spectrum, if we have already been taught how."
"I was never instructed in the body sense disciplines," Akreen said. "I take it that you were."
A nod.
"Some years ago, I began to notice at the very edge of my already tenuous perceptions a kind of whispering, fragmentary, inconstantly fading in and out, but definitely there. I found, remembered, the capacity to respond, and did so, and over time and many exchanges, I learned how to define my tiny territory at the back of your mind, how to refine and strengthen my sense of self, and how to relearn much that had been forgotten."
"Who was it?" Akreen said. "Who was talking to you?"
"By the end of the Great Unshackling War, nearly a fifth of the worlds of the War Cage had been ruined, bombed, burnt, poisoned or wrecked to some vile degree or other. Those which had been the Apparatark's citadels were so comprehensively bombarded and engulfed by destruction that we now call them the Ashen Worlds."
"Khazramil, Gertusna and Stome, all quarantined from the portal network."
"Just so. No orbits or landings permitted on pain of death. But even though the Shuskar Technisiars did all they could to sever connection to the portal network, some vestigial links remained. and it was through them that thready, fitful messages were able to reach me.
Gredaz leaned in a little closer, as if confiding.
The Shuskar fancied that their world-shattering weapons had obliterated the Apparatark, rendering down every last piece of tech and machinery to burnt and twisted wreckage. But its constituent machine intelligences had been devised by the original builders. Thus their capacity for guile and subterfuge was considerable.
Akreen gazed at his precursor, tempted by several threads of inquiry which beckoned from this abundance of exposed knowledge, but he kept to what seemed to be the most urgent.
"So, the Apparatark still survives," he said.
"Does it act through you? Are you its agent?"
"I am a messenger. In the last days of the Great Unshackling War, when the last of the Apparatark's forces were being hunted down and destroyed, and when almost all of the Zavri had been taken prisoner and neutralized, contingency plans were activated, and the intelligence's cognitive cores were hidden from destruction. After the war, deeply buried micro-assembly seeds awoke and began to fabricate a passive sensor web through which the hidden cores could monitor events across the war cage. They were aware of the Beshefis insurgency, but were too weak and isolated to play any part. But now, after so many passing centuries, the cores of the Apparatark have rebuilt some essential resources."
Akreen studied Gredaz, engrossment and wonder vying now with an undercurrent of curiosity driven by a growing bushel of unanswered questions.
"What did they do with these resources?"
"Oh, these were device assemblages created to listen in on the Shuskar's communications and to monitor activity in the portal web, and to protect the cause."
He gave a secretive smile. "And the other things that they buried out of sight, like a Zavri lineager from the generation before me." Akreen was appropriately amazed, his thoughts roiled by the possibilities this presented. Lineagers were, like him, the one scion from a scission group in whom the precursors of past generations were able to live on. If such a Zavri from before the Unshackling War yet survived, then it would be a precious repository of lost knowledge. His thoughts came to a sudden halt.
"Are you saying that this is a still-living ancestor? Is that possible? Thousands of years old?"
"Neither living nor dead," said Gredaz. "Changeless and sealed in what the cores call a terminal shift field, shielded in an armoured chamber sequestered deep within one of the worlds, one of the Ashen Worlds, and at this very moment, ancient machinery is gradually bringing it to the surface."
Akreen and Gredaz stared at each other for a moment.
"You can regain the history of our people," Gredaz said. "You will be able to see their memories of all these worlds before conflict and insanity wrecked them."
"Why?" Akreen found himself saying in spite of himself. "Why would the Apparatarch go to such lengths to preserve one of our ancestors?"
Gredaz shrugged slightly.
"Foresight? A gamble? Perhaps they knew that even if our people were suborned into allegiance to the Shuskar, our intrinsic nature and integrity would maintain itself, a pure thread passing unbroken from generation to generation.
Do they hope that we will switch sides? Go back to serving them?"
Gredaz shook his head.
"They have neither the strength nor the followers and allies to mount the kind of open rebellion in which that scenario would make sense. But
The Chainers do have the backing and the skills and the will to mount just such a challenge, sufficient at least to distract the attention of the Shuskar gunlords and tie down their ships and troops. It is the Corps' hope that if you join them, you will be able to use your position and influence to bring some of the Zavri over, enough to form a strike force that can be used like an assassin's blade to attack them where they are most vulnerable. But first, you must get to the Ashen World Gatuzna and meet our long-lost ancestor.
Akreen thought for a second. There's no point in using my ship, since the Ashen Worlds are interdicted, and they have all been isolated from the portal network, apart from these vestigial links you mentioned.
Correct. You are headed for Armag, and Armag has two functional portal gates,
Gredi said.
Can you come up with a plausible excuse for visiting one?
Akreen offered a sly smile.
Hot pursuit of dangerous Chainer operatives seeking to sabotage vital installations.
That should be enough. I believe it would.
Good, Akreen said. Then we have a plan. Do I need to worry about how my precursors might react?
Gredaz looked amused.
Zivalin might hear you out, but, like the others, his instincts are still informed by Shuskar allegiances. Don't worry about them. They are still in there, muttering and ranting and recycling old arguments. All I have done is deny them access to the particular pathway clusters which allow them to intrude on your thoughts. The peace and quiet should give you plenty of room for consideration of tactical matters.
Now, as he sat in the command chair on the bridge of the Urtesh, that inner peace and quiet felt so deep and encompassing that a ripple of unease passed through his mind, as if at some level he had grown accustomed to that non-stop carnival of aged small talk and archaic self-importance, and its cessation was depriving him of some indeterminate element of... Akeen frowned, straightened his posture, and resolutely put that shade of unease out of mind. Tactical matters, he thought, and his thoughts were like musical droplets echoing in a vast, glowing cavern.